Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of
Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and especially to you confirmands this special day. May God guide us. All across the nation, all across the state, all around the world, there are many who are young people confirming their faith on this Palm Sunday. Let's take a quick look at a few examples, because you guys are not alone. This is that special day for you four young people who are sitting there in that front row on this, your confirmation day. Been preparing for this for some time, and it's led you on a journey of discovery, a reaffirmation of knowledge, and most of all, that faith that you are learning to appreciate and to grow in. And it's here what I have to say to you is especially important for you, but it's not only for them. It's a message that we all can take with us as we continue on this journey in life with Christ. There's never been a time when we can stop appreciating that relationship that God has established with us, that many of us, it was first established at the baptismal font. There's never a time that we need to stop affirming that commitment and that resolve to follow Christ, to be his disciples, always serving, witnessing of his love through our lives. Avery, Eli, Connor, and Tim, it's here that it would be easy to focus on you guys today, especially in light of the ceremony of your commitment that you're about to make. But you stand before us ready to make a promise as disciples of Jesus. I could spend time focusing on the encouragement that all of these folks here, the congregation and members of here have been praying for you, your parents have been supporting you, and not forget that we need to continue to pray even after this day that you would be good role models and take on various responsibilities in a new level of this congregation. These are all worthy things that we might consider, but I say, let's get it all into perspective. The big picture, if you will. This whole day begins with the grace of God. You would not be here today if it were not for having been baptized, coming into the faith, or a congregation wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the grace of God. Let's consider that text that I've chosen for today, Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, and that includes all of us in the new sense, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. It was at that Last Supper that Peter boldly stated that he would rather die than, turn against or deny his Lord. But it was a promise that he wasn't able to keep. Three times he failed in that one evening in that commitment to being a disciple of Jesus. Later, after the resurrection on the seashore, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And three times Jesus gave him that task of feeding his sheep and his lambs. In other words, continue to be that work of the good shepherd, that he wanted to share that grace of God and that eternal life that God offers to one and to all. And Jesus knew how badly Peter probably was feeling in his failure to stand up and boldly confess Jesus as his Lord and his friend. Jesus knew how in that courtyard of the high priest, he left and bitterly wept because he had let Jesus down. And Jesus knew that what happened to Peter would later be an invaluable message for all of the followers in the future, as Peter would pen his letter. He would write that to encourage them that would fail, those who would fail, to be loyal and faithful. And people kept coming to Peter, even though he was denying, and he had made that commitment to follow Jesus, even if it meant death, but he had failed in that promise. And at that moment, Jesus stops and tells him, no, what I did on the cross for those times of denial also makes it forgivable. That's my grace. You see, it's not about you. It's about me, Jesus. That's grace, Peter. And at the bottom and in the background of this confirmation today of your faith is the grace of God. No doubt at some time in the future, you will probably make some choices like Peter did on the night of the high priest in his courtyard. Oh, perhaps it might not be quite as dramatic as Peter's experience, and I hope it won't be. But there may be a come a time when you may be asked as a follower of Jesus, and how will you answer? The consequences might even frighten you a little bit, just as it did for Peter. More often, those choices will probably be more ordinary, everyday ones, but not the less any easier. It will be about following God's ways or what others want or what you want. The questions that will confront you will be more likely, will I choose God's ways or will I choose my own way? Or will I follow what everyone else is doing and forget about Jesus and his amazing grace for me and you? And live as if Jesus had never done anything for me. Take it from someone whose confirmation is many days past. It's the kinds of choices that you make all along the way, every day of your life. And Jesus, just because I'm a pastor, it doesn't mean it's any easier for me to follow Jesus. No one out here is exempt, not even Jesus' own disciples, as certainly we see with Peter. Avery, Eli, Connor, and Tim, when you make your confirmation promises in a little while, I don't doubt that you really mean those promises. You intend with the best of your ability to follow Jesus, to read the Bible, to learn as much as you can, to grow in that way of life, to attend worship services and Holy Communion, to be the best person that God wants you to be. And those of us who have been confirmed can probably recall with confidence those same promises that we made on our confirmation day. And as certain as I am of that confidence today, I'm also certain that there will be times when you will say with the disciple Peter, I've messed up. What looks like I've done feels like it is completely and totally unforgivable. At times I keep denying you or just fail to speak up to others and the decisions that I make. You may want to make that different, but you can't because of that human nature that clings so close. And you might think I'm a complete failure in living up to that confirmation promise. But fortunately, Jesus is a much better keeper at promises than you or I. It was at that baptism that God made a promise to you. I have called you by name. You are mine. To use those very words of Isaiah. And like he did to Peter when he failed so miserably, your loving Lord, your living Lord and King, comes to you quietly and says, Avery, Eli, Connor, Tim, you are mine. I know you by name. you will always be his precious child. He died on the cross for that which seems unforgivable and makes it forgivable. And Jesus says, that's my grace for you. It's not about you in the end. It's about me, Jesus. It's that grace. It's all about Jesus offering you his grace, putting it into your empty hands because you have nothing to bring. You simply accept that gift of faith. And to ignore that grace, well, that leaves you with your mistakes and your sins by yourself, and that doesn't get you anywhere. And when you struggle to fulfill those promises that you make today, or you begin to focus on your problems, your struggles, your doubts, remember, you are a precious child of God. By his grace, you will get through. Today, God says to each one of you and me, and to each member of this congregation, I have called you by name. You are mine. And then we can go about our everyday life with that unfailing love of God, because he will see us all through life. He has promised this to you, and Jesus always keeps his promises. That baptism promise, he said, you are mine. It's he who will continue that work in your life, all life through. And so as Paul says, may he who began a good work in you bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.